Thank you, Kathy, for that introduction. Am I on? Yeah, I think just hearing that, a little bit of an echo. Yes, as Kathy said, I graduated from EMU with a degree in biology and chemistry, and here I am, donor relations director for MCC East Coast. So God does indeed move in mysterious ways. And Crystal took a more steady path. She graduated with a degree in psychology and is currently a therapist in private practice in Harrisonburg. So we're grateful for God's care. So just to reference, here's my title, Seeing the New Thing. And just a little more personal about myself. Some of you are aware, in the fall of 2020, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And you can tell that I'm standing here that things have gone okay. When you go through cancer and treatment, it was stage 3 lung cancer. One has a new appreciation for each day, and Kathy mentioned the book I published. I walk every day on a neighbor's farmland, and I take these photos and I write poetry around it. This is a photo from our neighbor's farmland. It's sunrise, and coming through cancer is like every day is a new day, and these sunrises that I see remind me of that verse in Lamentations. Those verses in Lamentations 3:22-24. Let me read those now. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions, or sometimes translated, His mercies, are never fail. They are new every morning, just like the sun. Great is Your faithfulness. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. I did a little research, and Kathy mentioned my study in Hebrew Bible. So this word compassion here in Lamentations, sometimes translated mercy, is also is the same word that's in other cases translated womb. So God's womb never fails. It's new each morning. And so it's the idea of a new life, new birth each morning as we walk with God. So that's a bonus sermon for here. The old is gone, the new is here. And when Kathy read the text, I don't know what especially spoke to you, but there are two things I want to highlight, and I must apologize. The phrasing that I'm using here is from the NIV, and so it might sound a little different than what Kathy read in the introduction. But there are two phrases in that passage I want to highlight. One is this one: the old is gone, the new is here. And then the second one is reconciliation. Paul goes on to talk to the church of Corinth about reconciliation, and I want to try and bring those two together in my message here. But first, let's start with this idea of the old is gone, the new is here. Now, this is a concept that shows up repeatedly in Scripture. For instance, you may know this familiar passage from Isaiah 43, 18-19. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It's the image of new things emerging out of the old. Isaiah 40, 3-5 talks about the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway, valleys raised up, mountains be brought low. New things happening out of God's mercy and compassion. Or Matthew 9:17, the thing about wines. New wine and old wineskins. You don't pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will be run out and be ruined. No, you pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Or we can look at Ezekiel 37, the story of the dry bones that Ezekiel thought were dead, and then the Lord says, these bones are dry, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you alone know. And so Ezekiel and the Lord had a little conversation, and they showed him it's out of these old things, new can emerge. Or the whole book of Revelation, for example, is about something new coming. So this idea of the old is gone, the new is here, is kind of a pervasive ever-present theme throughout Scripture. Now, let me ask you this question. This is audience participation time. You just have to raise your hand. How many of you like change? How many of you prefer to hang on to the old and familiar? Yeah, there's some of us. It reminds me, and you may have heard this story. I don't know if it's true, but it could be. There was an old farmer. He was out chopping wood, and the feed salesman came by, and the feed salesman saw him chopping, and she said to him, "Hey, that's a mighty fine axe you have there. I've been looking for a new axe. Would you consider selling that to me? It's just like the one I would like." The old farmer takes a break, wipes the sweat off his forehead, and in response he says, "No," he says, "I can't let you have this. This is a priceless axe. I could never let it go. You see," he said to this feed salesman, "this was my grandpa's axe, so it has a lot of sentimental value for me." "Oh my," the feed salesman responds, I can certainly understand that. I would not want to take that away from you." "Yes, yep, replied the old farmer. "I love my grandpa's axe. It's a good axe. I've only had to replace the handle twice and the head three times." He wasn't ready to let go of the old. It was always his grandpa's axe. And that's how it is, I think, for a lot of us. It's hard to let go of the old and embrace the new. But it raises an interesting question. If this is a theme, and we've heard it in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Revelation, if God is calling us to forget the old and embrace the new, does that mean that God changes? I don't know. I'll let Pastor Kevin tackle that next Sunday, some other Sunday. I'll let him know that I put that question out there for you. I love words, and I just want to touch briefly on each of these words. The old, well, that's, again, in the context here, something that was original, something long-standing, something primitive. And the word gone, and literally gone means passed out of sight. It was in your rearview mirror, but it's gone. It's not there anymore. New, of course, is fresh, novel, and carries with it the sense of something completely unused. And here, I mean, what can you say about here? But there's in kind of embedded in this word here is this idea of something that is birthed, something that is coming into being, something that has never been before. And so this is not something we take lightly, to say that the old is passed out of sight. There's something fresh here, something birthed that we must embrace. Now, I want to go back to this text in Corinthians and take a little closer look at that. The NIV translates the verse, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old is gone, the new is here." And the New Living, which Kathy read, kind of highlighted that it focuses on the person. They're a new person. But I want to twist the prism just a little bit and propose a new kind of an additional interpretation, if you will. So Paul's saying when someone is in Christ, there is a new perspective, a new way of engaging the world. So this idea of creation, the NIV says there is a new creation. Now, the word creation can refer to a thing, a product, a person, which is often understood a new creation as a Christian, or it can refer to an action. So when it says there is a new creation, we can understand that is saying there is a new way of being, a new construction, a new framework that we are being called to in Christ. So when Paul invites us to consider the old is gone, the new is here, it's perhaps talking about personal piety and a new way of living. But I think what Paul is also inviting the Church of Corinth and those of us here this morning to consider is that when we're in Christ and there's a new way of looking at things, there's a new way of looking at events, there's a new way of engaging the world around us. And it's not It's not the old way. The old way is gone. It's not merely dressing up old bones with new flesh. This is an entirely different game. And part of the reason I think this interpretation has some merit, this idea there is a new creation, the old is gone, the new is here, referring to a new way of looking at things, a new way of looking at people, is that Paul pivots immediately from this to this idea of reconciliation. And let me just put out here this idea, and I believe this. Reconciliation is risky. Reconciliation is risky. It requires letting go of the old and embracing the new. And just from our show of hands, that's not something many of us like to do. Letting go of the old and embracing the new. So then how does this work? This idea of reconciliation, it'd be interesting to, if this were a Sunday school class, I would say, what does reconciliation mean to you? Where are the places you hear that word in society? Well, let's use, for example, the task of racial reconciliation in this country. You probably have heard that. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of racial reconciliation. We often think of reconciliation as getting back to what had been. We speak of relationships that have reconciled, you're back together. Maybe in a marriage relationship, they're reconciled, they're back together. But when we apply that to racial reconciliation, this is not getting, there's no going back in racial reconciliation. The old construction, the old way of relating has to completely disappear. We have to let go of the old. And we have to embrace the new, this new thing that's taking its place. And the risky part of it is when in the letting go of the old, and I'm still talking about racial reconciliation, but it applies. Sometimes we have to let go of the old before we know what the new looks like. We have to let go of the old and step out in faith and say, the old is not working anymore. We need to embrace the new, and we trust that God is going to show us what that new thing, because God is a God whose compassions and mercies are new each morning, so God will walk with us. But it's risky. We don't like it, and each of us could probably bring up many examples where in broken relationships or in times when things are breaking up, that it's easier to try and hold to our old ways, hang on to that old axe that's with the twice replaced handle, and say, yes, I'll reconnect, I'll reconcile, but on my terms. I'll welcome you, but it's still my grandpa's axe. But Paul, I think, and when he calls us to let go of the old and embrace the new, he's calling us to, again, step out in mystery. God, when God, as the text in Corinthians says, God is in Christ reconciling the world to God's self. And that's not going back to the Garden of Eden. That's not going back to that time. It's something new. And God has a habit of doing this, of making things new. He tells the people of Israel in Isaiah, look, forget the former things. There's a new thing happening. Can't you see it? Don't you see it? Do you see the new thing? What God is inviting us to do here, God is choosing to see the world. God is choosing to see you. God is choosing to see me in a new way, as this text says, not counting our sins against us. God's compassions are new each morning. Each morning, God takes a risk with you. God takes a risk with me. And we are invited to take a risk with each other. And then God says, I want you to take on this ministry, or this message of reconciliation, or this ministry, this act of service of reconciliation. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of reconciliation as an act of service, but that's what God is inviting us to do through Paul here in Corinth, into this ministry of reconciliation. I want to take that and talk about a story of beginnings. You may have wondered when MCC is going to show up. Well, it's about to show up here. And I don't know if you've thought about Mennonite Central Committee as being in the Ministry of Reconciliation, but I like to think of it that way because it started. MCC would not have happened without a particular reconciliation. Now, some of you may know the story. If you don't, it's a story worth repeating. So let's go back to, well, let's go back to 1917. I think many of you are aware that MCC began in 1920. 2 years ago, we had our big centennial. But let's go back to 1916, 1917, 1918. What was happening in the world in that time? Anybody?
World War One.
What else was happening? The Spanish flu. Yes, epidemic. People were wearing masks. People weren't going to church. And people were arguing against masks. It was the same thing. Back in 1918, the world was divided, the world was in conflict, and Mennonites here in North America, by and large, did not participate in the war. But as the war ended, Mennonites began hearing, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have all that. But so there was a timeline. But Mennonites began hearing of the suffering and the devastation in Europe and other places, and Mennonites said, you know, we don't fight, we didn't participate in that, but we want to show God's love and compassion, and so we're gonna help those who are suffering. So a bunch of committees were put together. There was the War Sufferers Relief Committee of Eastern Pennsylvania. There was the War Suffering Committee of the General Conference Mennonite Church. There was a General Committee of, and there was about five different relief committees that happened, sprung up across the U.S. Another thing that was happening in 1917, 1918, there was a massive famine in India. And so Mennonites here in North America were getting together to raise funds and supplies for that. So there were at least five of these different committees scattered across the U.S., each doing their own thing, separated by geography and separated by theology. We'll do our thing, you do your thing, we don't think we can work together, but, yeah. Then in 1919, a call came from, of all places, southern Russia, with the area that's now known as Ukraine. And there was a Mennonite community there, and they said, help, we're starving. You may know the story, you know, 100 years ago, just like today, there was war and conflict in southern Russia, now Ukraine. The Red Army and the White Army were fighting each other with the Civil War, and massive amounts of civilians were caught in the crossfire. Both armies would come through and take both their means of production, their cows and their horses. They would take their food. They were starving. It was a devastated situation. And so the Mennonite community in what is now Ukraine sent a delegation to the United States that said, help, we're starving. And they spoke to each of these five different relief committees, and they said, you know, help, hey, we're starving. We're going to die. We are dying. And these committees, and this is a much longer story than I can share here, but these committees agreed to, and the phrase that's used, they agreed to set aside their differences to work together effectively. They set aside their differences sufficiently in order to work together effectively. You might say they were reconciled. You might say they had let go of the old and embraced the new. And so these five committees, they said, okay, we're going to work together. We're going to do the new thing, and we're going to call this the Mennonite Central Committee. It's a central committee of all of these Mennonites, so it's the Central Committee, a very imaginative, creative name, and the name stuck, and it's still Mennonite Central Committee. And so they work together, and this is a picture from a feeding station in Ukraine, what is now Ukraine. At its height, they were serving 25,000 meals a day. And just a quick note. When they, in order to get into Russia, they had to agree to the Russian authorities said, yes, you can come in. It took a long time. You can come in, but you have to agree to serve everyone. And they said, well, of course. And so they served the Mennonite communities there in southern and eastern Ukraine, southern Russia, which is now Ukraine, but all the rest, the Jewish folk, Lutheran, everyone was served. Now, so they were feeding, and within a few years, things were resolved. People were no longer starving. And this Mennonite Central Committee, these five different relief organizations said, oh, our work is done. Perhaps we can go back to the old. We can go back to Grandpa's axe. So there were some voices who wanted to do that. Let's go back. The other voices said, no, we need to look what we could do when we work together. Look at what happened with this new thing. Let's stay together. And so they compromised. They did not disband the structure of this central committee, as some had hoped for. They did not disband it, but they put it on a shelf for a few years. And as you can tell, then it was reactivated. And I'm very glad they did not disband. I'm very glad they stayed reconciled, because if they had disbanded, this woman's life was... Because they had not disbanded, this woman's life was saved. Let me tell you the story of Li Bang. I'm struggling whether or not to call this a story of reconciliation, but I think I am going to call it a story of reconciliation, a miracle. Many of you recognize the bag that Li Bang is holding. Anybody want to guess what that is? It's a school kid bag, yes. So let me tell you the story, then you tell me if reconciliation, if letting go of the old and embracing new is a part of this story. So Li Bang was born in Laos. And during the Vietnam War, she and her family were forced to flee, and they ended up living in a refugee camp in Thailand for quite a few years. When she was in her, from 12 to 16 or 17, she was living in this refugee camp. Li Bang was from a family of believers, a Christian family, but in this refugee camp, she began to wonder where God was. She began to wonder if life was worth living. And at the point, and as she tells the story, at the point where she was just about ready to decide life was not worth living, and she was thinking about how she might take her life, one day in a refugee camp, she noticed a disturbance, a commotion near the center of the camp, and she went and saw there were some white North Americans handing something out. She didn't know what it was, but it's something new, something different. So she gets in line, and she receives a bag. All she knew was this bag, and she opened the bag, and there was a notebook, there was a pencil, and there was a straight edge, and that sort of thing. And she took that, and she began writing down scripture from memory. She would write down songs. She would write letters for other folks in the refugee camp who were trying to find family. And suddenly she had a purpose. And as she tells the story, it saved her life. But all she knew was a bag with writing paper and pencil in it. That's all she knew. Fast forward, she and her family eventually settled in Canada, Ontario, Canada. And she became connected. Her family was sponsored by a Mennonite church in Ontario. And in fact, she eventually began did some leadership roles, and there was an Hmong Mennonite church there. She began leadership role, and she at one point was leading the youth. And she said, "We need to introduce these youth to acts of service. We need to develop that in them." And she said, "Okay, we'll take the youth to the MCC, the Material Resource Center there, and." She called them and they said, yes, we're packing school kits, you can come and help us. So she gets there, and at that point, this is now almost 30 years after she had been in the refugee camp, she gets there and she realized that what had saved her life in that refugee camp in Thailand was an MCC school kit. And she said she ran home, she found the bag, and she also noted when they left the refugee camp, all she could put all her belongings into that bag as she fled to America. A story of a miracle. Now, where does reconciliation or this forgetting the old and embracing the new fit into this? Well, let me read for you MCC's vision, mission statement, which reads as follows. Mennonite Central Committee, a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches, shares God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. MCC envisions communities worldwide in right relationship with God, with one another, and creation. That's MCC's mission statement. That's what drives our work. Now, again, is making a school kit, packing a school kit, or all these things, kits, the meat cannings, the comforters, also this, is that an act of reconciliation? I think it is, because doing this, we bring folks together to do something new they could not do by themselves. We bring them together sufficiently so that they can work effectively. And so this commitment of these relief kits and all the work that MCC does is a commitment. It comes out of a commitment of seeing the world in a new way. And I think that this work of, whether it's a feeding station, whether it's relief kits, whether it's any of the programs that MCC does around the world, it's out of a commitment to see the world in a new way. We're not going to be bound by the old way things were. We're going to open our eyes to new things. And it's risky. It's risky, but it changes lives. Now, out of the tens of thousands, and since this kit was sent in mid-1970s, hundreds of thousands of school kits, we don't always know the story. We don't always know the end of the story. We don't know the lives that are changed. But we do this. I say we, I say you. I imagine some of you have sewn the bag. Some of you have probably put school kit stuff together. We do this because it's because out of a commitment that there is a different way. Our mission statement says, sharing God's love and compassion for all. So we send this out not caring, not knowing who's going to get that. And I say not caring. We care deeply about who, but we don't know. We don't expect anything in return for what we do. And so this is a story of a miracle. It's a story that happened, and there are thousands of these stories I could tell of lives that were changed because 100 years ago, some folks said, we're going to let go of the old and we're going to embrace the new. We're going to work together. We're going to reconcile. We're going to create something new because God is at work and we want to be part of that. Because of that, lives are changed, like Li Vang here. So then the question comes for each of us, do we see a new thing? Just in your lives, in your communities, what are the areas where we're being invited to let go of the old, to lay down grandpa's axe and pick up the new thing? I'm sure all of you, I'm quite sure, everyone here is aware of what's happening in Ukraine again. And MCC is again saying, there's a new thing we can do here. So just kind of a quick update. We do have partners on the ground in Ukraine. And like I tell folks, the news cameras, what we see and hear about is the folks who are fleeing Ukraine, heading to Poland, Moldova, and other places like that. But what we often don't see is the folks who are left behind are the folks who have no access or means to escape, no means to flee. And that's where MCC is. That's where our partners in who are staying in Zaporozhye and other places like that. Living out this ministry of reconciliation, living out this call to see a new thing, and living out a call to say we're not going to give in to violence, the old violence. When you think about it, violence and war is almost always about protecting the old way, protecting power, hanging on to what has been, and instead of letting go. That's very simplistic. What's happening in Ukraine is very complex, so I want to be aware of that. But I do want us to invite all of us, again, to consider ways in our homes, in our lives, in our communities, in our places of work, what are ways we can let go of the old and embrace the new? What are ways that we can look at things in a new way and not be bound by the old ways of looking at things, so that we can open our eyes to see the new things that God is doing? I want to come back again to that passage from Lamentations that I started out with. God's mercy, God's compassion is new every morning. Or to go deep into that word, God is birthing something new each morning, each day. And God wants us to be part of that. I pray that God can forgive us when we want to hang on to the old. We know it's easiest to do. But I pray that we can have the power, the whatever, to let go of the old, to embrace the new, to step out in reconciliation. And reconciliation, again, that is not remaking the old, but letting go of the old and making something new, or allowing ourselves to be made into something new and taking that risk. So in summary, I invite you to join me in seeing the new thing in the world around us, and seeing the lives that are changed, the miracles that can happen when we let go of the old and see the new thing and step out in faith, in reconciliation, into the new thing that God has for us. Amen.